CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody to the CMO Roundtable. This is your host, Justin Christensen, and today I'm super excited for this show because we've got an absolute rock star on with us. Our guest today is an award-winning business and digital marketing thought leader, ranked in the top 40 under 40, received the top 100 fastest growing companies in Canada, is a top 100 female entrepreneurs of Canada, top 40 digital marketing strategist of 2012. She's also recognized as an expert in performance marketing by the New York Times and e-commerce and retail global travel brands who look to her for strategic online growth and performance marketing initiatives. And in 2009, she founded All Inclusive Marketing, a leading performance marketing agency known for delivering innovative, experience-driven results for their clients. So our guest, Sarah Bundy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully, Dustin. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And I really thank you for being on the show.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
So tell a little, our audience, a little bit about AIM and your company and kind of what you guys do specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were founded in 2009, as you had said, and we turned into a little bit of an accidental success story because when I started the company, I was actually 6 months pregnant on my own, just looking to be a mom and take really immaculate care of a couple of clients. I wanted to focus in affiliate marketing, performance marketing, because that was my background, specifically for e-commerce and travel and hospitality brands. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that people loved being immaculately taken care of, and we grew organically for about, well, actually now we're into our ninth year. We're still growing organically. And to your point, you know, we've become one of the fastest growing companies in Canada and have been recognized as one of the leading affiliate management or performance marketing companies globally. Speak a lot of international shows now, things like Affiliate Summit and Affiliate Management Days and Affiliate World Asia. And it's just been a really interesting path over the last little bit, sort of evolving with the affiliate and performance marketing space. So our company really does focus on that. Our core competency is affiliate program management and strategy and consulting and growth and growth campaigns and engagement campaigns and recruitment campaigns and all of those things that people would want to work with on a performance basis with their partners.
Awesome. So to that point, for those that are listening, they hear performance marketing, that could mean a lot of things. Mm-hmm. What is it to you and how does that really help brands grow?
Yeah, absolutely. So the more traditional way of thinking about that is affiliate marketing, where you basically partner with somebody who uses their own resources, their own audience, their own real estate to promote a brand or promote a product or a category or a story to their audience. And you would pay them on a commission basis or some kind of a performance-based model. So after a lead is retrieved or after a sale is converted, then, you know, the marketing manager or the affiliate program manager would pay for that transaction or that final action to take place. So where it has turned into the performance-based marketing, it genuinely is based on paying out on the performance, the conversion of a desired action. So that's our definition of performance marketing.
Partnering, so CPL or CPA style?
CPL, CPA, CPS, pay-per-download. We now have like a CPX model where you just fill in the blank. So there's a lot of different angles. And it's interesting because if you look at the affiliate marketing space, which is now a multi-billion dollar industry globally, you know, one of the things that we were talking about in when I was on stage in at Affiliate World Asia was that the Japanese, the US and the UK market by themselves are multi-billion dollar affiliate marketing industries. So it's becoming more of a, the name evolved a little bit from affiliate marketing to performance marketing, at least in our industry, because traditionally affiliate seemed to have sort of a misunderstood, unknown, people didn't understand. There was not enough transparency into it. And so it kind of had a little bit of a stigma attached to it. And there were a lot of really amazing companies, and still are a lot of amazing companies that existed back then that were like, you know what, like there are so many good people in this industry that are smart marketers, they're innovative, they're honest, they're transparent. We need to help bring that message forward. So we started to evolve the terminology of affiliate marketing to more performance-based marketing. And that actually was beneficial in so many different ways, because not only did people start to listen to what is performance marketing sort of as a new thought, but it actually opened the doors to a lot more types of partners and a lot more types of technologies and different strategies that allowed people to come in and test this particular style of marketing. And really, it's just more of around a monetization model. Like if you think about a blogger, you know, they have a lot of different, or a content developer, they have a lot of different options for how to monetize. Or you think about a social influencer, you know, social influencer marketing or influencer marketing is a huge topic today. So they need to find ways of monetizing their real estate and their audiences if they're going to make, you know, some income from it. So affiliate marketing is one of the ways, or performance-based marketing is one of the ways that they can generate income from their businesses. And what's been really interesting to watch is how many, especially in the last 18 months, how many different media companies and TV and print and forums and again, social influencers are all coming into this space because they realize that A, the data is there, the transparency is there, it is an incredibly sound now business model, and that the long-term earning opportunity is fantastic. And I'll use an example if you don't mind. So yeah, we've been working a lot with, we've spent the last 3 and 4 years really building out our personal database of content, forum, social influencer types of guys. And a long time ago, they're like, you know what? No, I don't do affiliate marketing, you know, hand up. Here's my media kit. We only do sponsored posts. And through the advocacy of the concept of how to monetize, and the advocacy of the technologies, and the advocacy of the crediting, and the advocacy of like the value of performance-based marketing, a lot of these guys have started to realize, oh my gosh, you mean I don't have to write an article and charge one time and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again just to get paid. And so they're like, well, jeepers, I'm going to do or sign up for an affiliate program instead, work with the affiliate manager, put out my content piece, put my links on that site. And then I can continue, as long as that landing page or that place is generating traffic, I can make money forever, as long as it is there and as long as it is generating traffic and as long as it's still relevant. So the long-term earning opportunity and the passive earning opportunity of that concept to a social influencer and a content developer now, or a content writer or a blogger, is so much more appealing because they were getting burnt out. They're getting burnt out. Now they're switching their model over to more affiliate marketing. So it's been wonderful to see that transition, especially in the last 18 months. And it's really exciting because that group, on top of what is more traditional affiliate marketing, and now adds a layer of extra reach and engagement for the brands themselves. And because it's third party, and because it's authentic, and because it's highly engaged, the sales and the conversions and the awareness that can come from that is really powerful.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, how it's changed from affiliate marketing to performance marketing, where, you know, a handful of years ago, you just think affiliate marketing or CPA marketing or anything like that, you think of it as spam. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you think of it as just junk, people just scratching and clawing their way to it. So I'm really glad that it's made that shift.
Me too.
Because that's how I got my start, was being an affiliate marketer, quote unquote. So I'm glad you brought that to attention. So how is it that companies, or how is it structured? I think you touched on this a little bit, but how is it that it's structured to help drive profitable growth? And more so to that point, how does performance marketing reduce risks in things like paid or display advertising?
All great questions. I'll try and break that apart into a couple of different thoughts or answers. But I think because you're able to control so much of the cost, you know, you can be really strategic about how to pay out commissions, different amounts to pay based on different types of actions or different types of affiliate partners, different types of partners. It doesn't have to be a flat commission. For example, some people might choose to pay 10% flat to everybody, and some people might choose to pay, 2% to some types of groups, 6% to others, 15% to others. You might pay a different commission amount for a new customer acquisition versus a returning customer. You might choose to reward affiliates who are able to extend lifetime value or frequency of purchase buyers. So the profitability side, the return on advertising side, return on advertising spend side, can be best. It's really measurable, and everything today is transparent because of the technologies and the attribution that's available today. That was not available, 5 to 10 years ago, but most of the technologies, affiliate networks, can provide that level of transparency and that level of really granular customization to how particular actions and partners are paid out. So when you have somebody who understands those strategies and those opportunities for maximizing profitability and reducing risk and understanding the data and understanding the click to consume path and what to do about it, then you're really, really able to drive up the profitability of your marketing efforts, the return on advertising spend, decrease your cost of acquisition. And because it is really leveraging all of the resources and, audiences of your partners, there's no cost aside from whoever you would be paying to manage the affiliate program and the network costs and the cost of the commission. This is very different from the days where you would put up, more traditional media and you kind of cross your fingers and hopes, the expression spray and pray. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw it out there and hope that something comes back and I can't really measure it. Affiliate marketing is probably the most transparent now, the most data driven, literally to every single click in a consumer's click to consume path can be seen in this particular model. So no more guessing, no more high risk, no more fraudulent, spammy type of fear that used to be the norm. Now we need answers. We get the answers we want. We get the transparency. And a lot of people won't work with partners unless they are able to mutually provide that transparency, which they do today. So it's really, really encouraging. So low cost, low risk, very measurable, very controllable. And you get transparency into all of the data to make really educated and strategic decisions around profitability, growth, and new customer acquisitions and incremental revenue and all of those good things.
And what I've found is in the performance marketing side, there's much more traffic there.
Oh, tons. Yes. This is a really good point because even if you have your own paid search efforts running, which is obviously a good thing to do, and SEO, you want to be able to do that. You put out your own Facebook advertising, for example, you have your own marketing budget and there's a lot of different places that you can do that. But at some point you might hit a budget cap. You might hit a traffic cap, to your mm-hmm. point. You could have all of the keywords in the world set up, but if there's just not enough people looking for those keywords, then you're limited. There's a ceiling that you'll hit. But when you have affiliates that you're working with, when you have an affiliate marketing program, you are able to work with people who have their own audiences and their own reach and their own channels and their own influence. And oftentimes their own lists and databases that you will never, ever, ever be able to reach on your own at that mm-hmm. scale. And also, nor probably have the budget to be able to do on the scale that it could actually be. And the other layer to that is, there are so many proven articles and case studies and reports and things all over the world that come out that say that third-party influencers or a third-party endorsement can be so much more powerful, especially from a conversion standpoint, than even the brand itself at times. So, mm-hmm. Somebody promoting their own paid search campaign saying, buy this is us, or, trying to endorse themselves or speak up for themselves could not be as convincing as just another person saying, hey, it's true. And here's a link. And here's my favorite product. And here's like the best three things that you could get. And here's a bundle. And here's a style guide. And, a special offer of the day and whatever it is, communicating those messages from a third party is amazing and huge and powerful and very, very scalable for traffic mm-hmm. generation.
Yeah. It's a glorified testimonial, essentially.
Some of them, the way that they approach it. Yes. Yeah. there could be that approach. And there's a lot of different ways that people promote this or share content or share stories. You know, there's about 15 different kind of buckets now that you can categorize affiliates in. A lot of the time people used to think of affiliate marketing and think of like coupon sites and loyalty sites and deal sites. And that's still a big portion of what performance marketing is today, because that's how consumers have been trained over the last decade to purchase. Mm-hmm. They've just become used to it. That's habitual, right? But then there's the other group that is, you know, there are lots of different groups that are engaged in research and stories and engaged in loyal community followings. You know, Facebook groups are affiliates. You've got forums that are affiliates. You know, social influencers, YouTubers. We were getting some reports this morning from some of our clients that we've got some really awesome YouTubers in one of our particular program that are generating sales through their YouTube channel. So there's so many different ways that this can be leveraged now. It's really exciting for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen it grow so dramatically, and just seeing all the different buckets and getting those endorsements. You know, you've seen it's better for. If I can shout all day long how great my product or service is, but if somebody else shouts how great my product or service is, exactly. it helps in the long run. So what's needed for companies in order for them to adapt kind of a performance marketing or thinking about investing or exploring, you know, what is performance marketing and how they could benefit? What do they need to know or do?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different variables that need to be taken into consideration. And there's also a lot of different people at different stages in their marketing, right? So you might have some brands who have an existing affiliate marketing program today, and they want to figure out how to diversify it, or they want to figure out how to scale it, or they want to figure out how to drive a higher return on advertising spend or decrease costs or get more engagement or reactivate dormant affiliate. There's a lot of different stuff there. Mm-hmm. And there's dozens of variables that could impact why they're in the state that they're in, or what might be some barriers. Examples of some barriers could be things like, what's the user experience on their website? You know, is their conversion rate low? Is their commission rate competitive? Do they have fresh content that's engaging for the audience compared to what else is being available to those affiliates as well as the audience of those affiliates? Is the technology tracking correctly? Is it set up correctly? There's so many different variables. So that's for existing affiliate marketing programs. And even if someone's considering launching an affiliate marketing program or a performance marketing program for the first time, those are things that are going to need to be looked at and really understood, and you need to have a strategic plan. Selecting the right type of tracking platform or network or technology is going to be really important, mm-hmm. because they all have their strengths and weaknesses, and they all have things that could be huge wins, like knock it out of the park type of wins. Those technologies need to be supportive of the internal teams, like the brand teams, capabilities, resources, budgets, integrated approach to marketing. We talk about click to consume paths and attribution. All of those things need to be considered when you're launching an affiliate marketing program. Also content, you know, what are from a compliance standpoint, thinking about things like FTC regulations. If it's e-commerce or there's somebody who's shipping a tangible product, looking at things like nexus taxes, you know, how is that going to impact it? So there's a lot of variables. But if I was to make it really simple, I would say you need to have something that's really engaging or unique or a story to tell or something that's worth promoting to an audience that's a wide enough audience. Mm-hmm. And the job of the affiliates, here's one thing I do want to clarify, and this hasn't changed over the years. The affiliate partners, like the people, the partners that you work with, performance-based partners that work on a commission basis or some kind of a payout basis, they are independent. They are entrepreneurs. They are, you know, they're sometimes moms and they're sometimes dads and they're sometimes huge conglomerate organizations. Sometimes they're other merchants and brands that have like a joint partnership, like a business development partnership that will work on a performance basis. And I think that it's really important that the brands understand all of those nuances and that they are partners, not employees. It's amazing to me how often I actually see brands like trying to force their partners to do stuff because they said so, but not in a like partnership type of way, or not in a, you know, how can we strategically make this work mutually beneficial type of way. So I think it's really important that brands, before they launch an affiliate program, understand that these are third-party independent people who you have an opportunity to really embrace and build very meaningful relationships with, and a trust factor that becomes mutually beneficial. And the other thing to take into consideration is that those partners, their job is to, or as part of this partnership, their job is to reach the right audiences. Again, we talk about reach, engage, and convert. This is, in my mind, was the world I live in. How do you reach, engage, and convert your buyers online? How do you reach, engage, and convert your partners online or through your program? And so the job of these partners is really to drive the traffic. They find the targeted traffic. They tell the story. We can consider it like pre-selling, right? They get people motivated to click through onto the landing page. But once they get to those landing pages, it's the job of the landing page and the brand to be able to do their job to help convert it. The affiliate has no control over how the website itself performs. All they can do is get the traffic there. So that's where the conversion piece is really important, because if the website's not converting, then the affiliates, you know, could be sending traffic all day long. And if they're not getting the return on investment from their time and resources, then they'll go find something else to promote as well. So the conversion piece is so important. And I think what a lot of brands misunderstand is that that conversion piece on the website, on the landing pages, is their responsibility, not the affiliate's responsibility.
Speak in my language.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where things like this make sense, because, you know, a brand would phone you and say, hey, like, I need some help increasing my conversions. If the website conversion rate is 1% and they're generating $10 million in sales, then, you know, a little bit of conversion optimization to make it 2% just made it a $20 million a year company. You literally double your sales by doubling your conversion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people will look at an affiliate program and say, how do I increase sales in my affiliate marketing program? And I want to look at incrementality, right? So we look at things like, you know, okay, how do we increase the conversion rates, conversion rate optimization? How do we increase the average order value? How do we increase the frequency of purchase? How do we increase the referral system? There's so many different variables that can be KPIs that really can be optimized in order to drive that incremental growth. And conversion is one of the top ones, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm in business of that. So I know firsthand how much impact it can actually have on a brand.
Exactly.
But one thing you haven't really spoke on is from the company side of things, what metrics should people really be paying attention to?
Company side on the affiliate side, or company side on their brand side?
Yeah, the brand owner.
Yeah, the brand owner. There's a lot of different metrics. KPIs, obviously revenue, repeat purchases, new versus returning customers. People will go as far as, you know, taking a look at the profit margin per transaction, per type of geographic region. You know, if you can get the psychological and the demographic breakdown as well of different audiences, that kind of stuff is so helpful, especially in working with affiliate partners, because you can say, hey, here's our best converting keywords, or here's our most engaging content, or here's our highest traffic landing page from a product perspective. And all of that insight not only helps the affiliate program, but actually all of their marketing channels. So the data, there are a lot of different metrics that you could be looking at, and people should be working to optimize those things. If bounce rates are high, focus on decreasing bounce rates. If conversion rates low, focus on increasing conversion rates. If AOV, your average order value, can be better, then focus on increasing that, because even a 50% increase to your AOV with everything else staying the same is a 50% increase to your revenue.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of different metrics that people would be wanting to look at. And that's what you and I are here for, right? We can help out with some of that guidance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you do all of this for your clients, everything we've talked about here today, right?
Well, you do conversion rate optimization.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We do all of the, everything that we talked about. Yes. So everything from strategy to running affiliate programs, managing, scaling, recruiting, you know, content, graphics, engagement, all that stuff is exactly what we do for a living.
Perfect. So I've got actually just one more question for you.
Sure.
And then we'll get into how to get in touch with you. And this has been absolutely fantastic. I've got about almost a page of notes here written down. But what are your predictions for digital marketing in the next year?
It's funny. I've actually been I've been emailed a lot recently to be interviewed for predictions for this year, and it's what I keep seeing. I haven't responded to any yet because what I keep seeing are the usual responses of, well, influencer marketing is going to continue to grow, which it will. Social media is going to continue to be a focus, which it will. Mobile and cross device and omni-channel tracking is going to continue to be a focus, and it will. And we need to figure out how to really engage people, reach and engage, and again convert people on all these different types of touch points and all these different types of devices. And luckily, the technology today allows us to do that. There's a lot of really smart technologies that can accurately track across a lot of different types of platforms, a lot of mobile versus laptop versus iPad versus desktop. Whether you start on your phone and then you walk into a store and complete the transaction, like the technology is there, which is awesome. And what I would pull at globalization, different types of, even in our industry, different types of partners coming into the mix and starting to switch their monetization model to more of a performance-based model with affiliate marketing because of the long-term earning opportunity, the more passive style when there is traffic continuously on those pages. There's a lot of evolution that is making this get really exciting and scale really big. But what I would say, what I would remind people of is that it still needs to come down to how are we putting ourselves in the shoes of our buyers, mm-hmm. and what message are we putting out to them, and how are we segmenting them, and how are we understanding them, and how are we solving their problems better, faster, and higher value than anybody else, right? And I think it's really important that people understand that there are different types of buyers out there. You know, I always am amazed when I ask some clients, you know, do you have any personas built out, or like, can you describe your target audience to me? And the only responses they have is an age group and a gender and a kind of generic, like geographic location nationwide. And it's so much more, there's so much more to it mm-hmm. that if we can understand what people are engaging with, then we have an opportunity to feed marketing messages, marketing channels, products, categories, offers, incentives that are so specific that it will blow sales out of the water when we can get to that level. So my thought and what we need to be focused on it still this year, even with all this other cool stuff going on, is put yourself in the shoes of your buyers. Who are they? Why are they buying? What problem are we solving better, faster, higher value than anybody else? What kind of messages or offers or incentives can I push out or stories can I tell to help them buy more easily and more quickly and more frequently and spend more as part of a bundle because it makes them happy and we're solving their problem. So awesome. That was just kind of a little friendly reminder that let's not forget about that big piece of it as all this other cool stuff is also going on.
Yeah. Don't get the shiny object syndrome.
But that's all still very important too. And it does need to be looked at and it needs to be addressed and needs to be optimized as well.
Awesome. Well, that's all I got for you. This has absolutely, again, been fantastic. So I really appreciate you being on the show. So how do people connect with you or find out more information about All Inclusive Marketing?
Thanks, Justin. Yeah, no worries. So you can check out allinclusivemarketing.com. There's a contact form there. Anybody can reach out. I can be reached out personally at sarah@allinclusivemarketing.com. So it's Sarah with an H, S-A-R-A-H. At allinclusivemarketing.com. And if anyone is interested in reading my personal blog and checking out my website, just take a look at sarahbundy.com and I'm there.
Awesome. So thanks again, folks. If you liked this information as much as I have, be sure to like it, share it, rate us if you're over there on iTunes, and be sure to reach out to Sarah if you have any questions about incorporating performance marketing into your brand. And we'll talk to you guys again on another episode. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.